grace. Let's talk about grace for just a moment. Grace, let's go to the Greek so that we understand it fully. It is spelled in the Greek C-H-A-R-I-S. It is pronounced charis. And it comes from a prime that means happy. It means fortunate. That's the prime root. But grace itself, charis, means to, with a divine intervention, a lifting of the heart, or I like to think mind, right? Because the heart just pumps blood, all right? Keeps the metabolism going. And it better translates mind, where the root of your soul, if you would, that it lifts you up. And it is a gift. It means favor. It means favor from our Father. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to stick to the New Testament today. We could take this a lot deeper, but I think the New Testament, in as much as it quotes the Old, will get it said pretty well for us. It is impossible to have grace without having exercised faith. And naturally, with faith must come belief. And belief in what? The Son of God. That's why when you say a prayer, you're supposed to close it, or sometime at least before or after, say, in Yeshua or in Jesus' name. Because you are giving your credentials that you are a believer, that you are a Christ man, or that you are a Christian. And His grace, then, is a gift to you, we that fall short. But all things must be justified. Inasmuch as God is fair, again, all things must be justified. Fortunately for us, because of the love of our Father for us and the Son, that we are justified through Him most of the time. And good works, how do they fit into this? Well, we'll touch on it as we go along. Good works cover a multitude of sin. Also, in other words, it gains the favor of our Father, whereby He favors you. Show me a Christian that believes the old teaching, all you got to do is believe, and by grace, you got it made. Well, you'll get in, all right. Naked as a jaybird, no privilege, and poor as a church mouse, all right? We're going to have to change that saying. Some church mice are not really that poor anymore, all right? Be that as it may, whatever. But God, knowing that He is fair, must justify all things. Example. We have God's election, and it is written, as we're going to cover in a moment, that they were chosen, some of them, before the foundations of this earth. That's got to be justified. Or He isn't a fair Father, and I can assure you, He is. So this all fits in. So we're going to keep note of justification as we speak on this subject of God's favor to us, that He loved us enough. That when you fall short and repent, then He comes and He touches you, and there is a divine exchange at that moment. You're not just forgiven, but you're forgiven with love. That touch, that makes us happy, that raises us up to a higher level of thinking. Okay, Galatians, which I call Little Romans, Chapter 2, verse 20. I, Paul teaching, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, Christ is that perfect part of us. We're not perfect, unfortunately. And I've never met someone yet other than Christ himself that was perfect. I've seen a few that thought they were. But if you observe and so forth, they prove themselves perhaps to be on an ego trip or playing games with themselves. But because we fall short. But in him we live. And that life means eternal life, not just till tomorrow or the next day, until you hit the pine box and that's it. But forever in him. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't want you to either. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, there would have been no need for grace through Christ if the law could do it for us. That does not mean that the law is bad. If you follow the law, I guarantee you, you'll probably never get in trouble except with Satan. But it's just something that while we're in the flesh has a very loud voice, and we seem to give it leeway to talk to us at times. And it has a neat way of whispering in your ear, I'm hungry. I need to be fed now. I don't care what you're doing. Drop it. Or I'm going to die. And then where will you be? Okay. It just has a way of encouraging us to do what the flesh desires, likes, its emotions, its demands. So, we in that spiritual inner man create that touch on repentance that we feel from Christ, raising us to a point of control, power. Power from him that we can tell the flesh where to go and what to do as best we can. So in Christ do we live. Now many people like to go to an extreme and says, the law then couldn't do it. Well, let's just get rid of the law then. Well, the law is a schoolmaster. Always has been. It always will be. Christ did not complete or do away with the law. He fulfilled it. He became a part of it, if you will allow me. By that I mean he brought a gospel. He cut 10 commandments down to 2. The first covered the first 5, which are spiritual. The second he gave covers the last 5, which are civil. Still the same thing. But with a, perhaps a special touch of love. Turn over to the 3rd chapter of this same book. And let's understand a little bit about the law. Verse 24. Verse 24, chapter 3, to the Galatians. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. It taught us to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. There must always be that justification. In other words, I could say it a different way. Everything's got to be paid for. Though we say salvation is free, it is to you, but it cost Christ an awesome price. He paid the bill. It was justified there through his love. 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit, if you believe that Christ dwells in you, is with you. He is the whole Word. And it is by that Word that you live. So you don't have to go by the old school teacher telling you, well, go out there today and kill me 2 pigeons. Take one of them pigeons as a little reminder. I mean, this would be like for children, okay? And I'm not degrading our parents, our forefathers, all right? But it gave them a visual object lesson whereby they could see the emotions of God and that everything must be justified. There's a price involved, okay? 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in what? In Christ Jesus. You're children of God. I don't care what race, color, creed. The general basic grace is favor from God. Sometimes you don't really earn it simply by repenting. He thinks you do. there would be some that would, some of us that would say, well, I don't feel like I should be forgiven for that. Well, it's because you're on a guilt trip. He does. And quite frankly, inasmuch as he is the one that justifies, then you got to get over it, friend. You're not perfect and you must forgive yourself so that indeed you can be forgiven, because you won't be forgiven until you can. Doesn't mean you're going to forget. Forget has very little to do with forgiveness. 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, the next lecture following this in this chapel will be on baptism. We're going to go into it a little deeper. And it is kind of the second part, if you would, of this particular lecture, grace. Now, this means that regardless of who you are, where you came from, before in the Old Covenant, Israel was favored to a degree. But if you really study the Scriptures, the strangers therein received the same rewards from God, basically, according to His law. But under Christ, all men, if they believe, can attain eternal life. It's God's favor to you. We must never forget that in the first earth age, there was an overthrow. And that in that overthrow, Satan really played some... He thought he was on an ego trip. He thought he was perfect. He still does. He deceived a lot of people. And it is God's wish, God's will, I can even say, that all people come to repentance. Will they? No. Unfortunately, well, look at them today. You would be a dreamer indeed if you could look at the events that are transpiring in this world today and feel that all people would come to repentance. They're not going to. On the first day of the millennium, every knee will bow. Last day of the millennium, many are going into the lake. Why? They just simply do not love our Father to the point that they feel that self, because that's what pride is, and that was Satan's sin, pride, they feel that it's the greatest, and they're the greatest. So, and they will be the greatest in the lake of fire. Right? But that's no place to be. It's not really shooting for the higher mark. Now, the sister book with this, we're kind of in the basics. Let's stay there. Let's kind of go to a different level, though. Following Galatians is Ephesians. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I want to read verse 2, and then we're going to pick it up in verse 5. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, in the flesh, in this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Do you know who that is? That's Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's why they are as they are. They love to listen to him. Do you know why? He's very religious. Boy, he can make you on a Sunday afternoon picnic and have lunch with you if you're not careful, and you'll think he's really some special prophet or something. He is really quite a Bible scholar. There's just one problem. 5%, and that's the dangerous part, or 10, is in reverse. But most of his scriptures quoted, and my documentation for that is Christ's temptation in the wilderness. Boy, Satan just belted it out there. I mean, he spoke scripture with just one problem. Just enough off that it would cause you to fall. He changed it, and he's still changing to this day. So, with that thought in mind, we must go back then to what was. And also we must realize that we have that grace, His Word, that is a direct path for you. But at the same time, especially in this generation, is why it does not hurt you to go back to basics, such something as simple as grace. Because it's real easy to be sidetracked by business, by pleasure, by whatever. Okay? Now, let's pick it up with the thought. Some might call that a digression, be that as it may. Verse 2. Subject is grace. I'm sorry, verse 5 of chapter 2, Ephesians. Even when we were dead in sins, I mean, there was no spiritual eternal life in you, therefore you were spiritually dead. Dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. I might even say, by whose grace ye are saved? By whose favor ye are saved? Why? You believe on Him. Do you know not very many people do? Do you know what makes His day? When you say, Son of Mary, I mean, not necessarily these words, but to let it be known to Him that you believe He was begotten in the flesh, the son of a virgin, and that He did that for you. He did. He did that for you. And He didn't have to. And as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, He did it for a very special reason, that He could bring the Word and die on the cross, so that He could destroy this son of this prince of the air, that is to say, the devil. That also for you, and He shall. The important question is by grace ye are saved. By His grace ye are saved. You sure don't want to get away from that, because that is your life. That is the only life in you. Otherwise, you are spiritually dead, meaning you're counting days, buddy. Mark the calendar. When you go to the pine box, sorry, that's it. That's all you got to look forward to. Except the millennium, different subject, different time. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together. That means actually resurrected. Raised to a higher level of thinking. Are you capable of that? And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, where does Christ sit? The right hand of God. Is Christ in you? Answer, yes. Are you in Him? Yes. Then where are you? Well, there's no place higher. And that's why that grace is unmerited favor. And that's why that you have the attention of God when you have His attention. He does us a big favor, more than we deserve, certainly. But because of His love for us, this grace toward you is given a gift. That in the verse 7, now I want you to expand your minds with this verse. Listen to the Word of God. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It must be through that one, through that Son. But what riches? Boy, we can't even imagine. When you count your blessings today, and I hope you do, if you want any more, you're counting them. Otherwise, you won't receive any more. That means giving, being thankful for them. But in Christ, He wants you to have it good even today. Little problem here or there, but hey, that's a good challenge and keeps a Christian awake, sharp. Okay? If you defeat Satan, occasionally it lets you know that God's Word is real. Otherwise, you wouldn't be worth much, would you? In other words, you would never have been tested, nor would you have tested God's promise. We always win in His Word. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. You can't do it. It is the gift of God. It's His gift to you. Why? Why would He do that for me? Because He loves you. And when you say, Father, I love you so much, guide me, lead me, it makes His day. Because any great love cannot be more appeased or happier than when that its love is cast upon returns or reflects that love. It is so complete at that point. It's like a transponder that reflects it right back at you. That's what he wants you to be, is a little transponder. Well, that's a little mechanical, isn't it? Well, anyway, whatever. You know, we have them in airplanes. Everywhere we fly, they say, turn your transponder on. Or they give you a code before you take off. And everywhere you go, there's your altitude and there's your number. And they say, go to 16,000 feet or 2240, which is 24,000 feet. And they know. They know whether you're at 24 or if you fluffed off, and they'll write you up if you get over a couple of hundred feet off of that. Why? It's to keep you separated from other people. And I don't know what that has to do with grace, really. Maybe I could work it in here some way. But God wants you to reflect that love back to Him. He wants to. He's got your number. I can work it in. He's got your number, all right? And He knows your altitude. He knows to what point you have raised to a higher level of thinking. Because the higher you get in thinking, the more love that is going to reflect back to Him. My friend, you are saved by grace, and it's a gift to you from Him. Paid by Him. Justified by Him. Verse 9, not of works. Works won't get it done. You can work as hard as you want to, but without showing love or belief, hey, I'm sorry, that won't cut it on its own. Works are wonderful, and they are very necessary. But without the richer, higher thing, they're an empty sound. Lest any man should boast, lest any man take credit for his own salvation. Work your own salvation out. Just work it, work it, work it. Work yourself to death. And if you don't believe, if you don't have faith, and if you haven't received grace, you ain't going nowhere. You're done. Pine box time. 10. For we are His workmanship. Now think about that a moment. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Does that say good faith? No, good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does before ordained mean? It means from a long time ago. The ages of salvation, you've got to be aware of them, or you cannot pick up on the justification of the election, or you got a bunch of people special that God just said, ain't that and pretty? Let's use that one. Yeah. That's really somebody. We'll just use it. He doesn't work that way. It's got to be justified. So He foreordained the way. And my friend, if you think it's going to change, you're mistaken. That's why you can depend on the Word of God. It is pregnant, it grows, but it never changes. It was there all the time. It's just that maybe you didn't see it. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You know how it was in the past. 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth. You don't have to look very far to see aliens. People say, do you believe in aliens? Boy, I do. There's a lot of them out there that are alien to Christ, I assure you. From the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. They don't even know what the covenants are. Couldn't say them, couldn't repeat them. Therefore, they couldn't claim them, having no hope and without God in the world. He just told you in verse 2 who was in the world, the prince of the power of the air. He's got power over you when you're in the world because He controls this world. And boy, is He a sharpie. One more verse. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, the blood of Christ is the justification. That applies to everyone. We still got to take care of this election business. Well, I don't believe in that elect teaching. Oh, you don't? Well, Some of you have known there was more to God's Word for a purpose. That God calls out the election, but they're justified and we'll document it. No big deal. If you earn something, you earn it. And I assure you, aside from the gift of grace, you're going to earn everything you get, because grace is His love, and if He don't love you, you ain't got no grace. All right? It's that simple. I'm just really getting it down here where the rubber meets the road. All right? If you don't love Him, sorry, you've got a blank check. There's nothing there. And you're just floating in the air with the old prince. And probably biblically illiterate. Unable to claim a promise. And probably complaining that you can't accept God. I know none of you do this, but I'm talking of thinking outside of into the world. Complaining about God that He isn't fair, and almost hating Him because something happened in your life that was your fault to start out with. Carelessness or... Why did God let that happen? He didn't. You did. Right. So, people are so easy, or so quick, rather, to want a scapegoat rather than turning to themselves and analyzing, checking the temperature of the water in your own mind. Are you an honest person with Him? Are you, are you honest with yourself? You really can't deceive yourself all the time. You might part of the time, but you must face reality. So, with that having been said, let's go back to the first chapter of this book of Ephesians, and let's branch out, if we may. This covers everyone, everywhere that believe on Jesus Christ in this dispensation, in this earth age. They've got it made if they believe upon Him. Now, we're going to go to a little different justification. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul addresses this to the saints, so rightly divide the word and understand who he's talking to, the set-aside ones. Verse 2, grace be to you. In other words, he's offering it. And peace, grace always brings peace, beloved, if you accept it, from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Has He you? Of course He has. Some people may have a little trouble believing that at times in this world, but that's what that separates true people that have faith in Him and believers from non-believers. You can get... Let me simplify this. Heavenly places. Me? In heavenly places? Well, you're no angel. I'll admit. All right? Neither am I. But, you do have Christ in you, and there can be no higher. You do have Christ's love upon you, and there can be no higher. So, yes, you have touched that heavenly place when you allowed Him to touch you. All right? Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him, He did what? He chose us in Him before the foundation. Do you know what before means? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's a huge statement. And of course, we know the Greek verb there really states a little different than the English is translated. What it states is that before the overthrow, the katabule, that before that overthrow of Satan, the prince of the air, that's the verb, He chose you. Why? Everything must be justified. Why would He choose you? Well, you mean I was in the first earth age? Well, He hasn't created any new souls in this one. If you weren't, I don't know where you came from. All right? He pretty well created the souls when he created the souls. Again, justification. He's fair. Not when you entered this earth age, or that would make this verse a lie, right? Because he would be showing partiality, that he would have elected someone to do certain duties and have grace automatically upon them to accomplish something. They earned it before the overthrow. So what is that? Justification. He's fair. He didn't do them any favors other than love them. They earned it. And it is for that simple reason that many people know they have a destiny and a purpose. Both the election among the kings and the queens of the ethnos, that's to say the Gentiles, as well as Israel. No difference in the election to your own people that you must lead, guide, direct, chosen by God. Be the foundations of this earth age. Doesn't mean it's a different earth, same old one. And that's why you must bring dispensation and the ages into it. You see, God does nothing without a plan. And the mystery of that plan is so hard for some people to receive. Verse 5. Having predestinated or predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, he was happy about it. It was his will. That, do you know what predestination is? When God predestines something, it is predestined indeed. In other words, it melts down to being this simple. And I'm kind of sliding away from grace a little bit, but be that as it may. God loves all of his children. If he interferes in the life of someone that did not receive him, that followed the prince of the air, say in the first earth age, he wants them saved. That's why grace is made available to everybody on that first level of justification. If God himself intervenes in one of those lives and causes them to do something or be in a certain place against their free will, then they have a legitimate legal reason to say, God, you caused me to do that. Therefore, God will not touch someone that is not predestined so that he can tell them on judgment day, all things again, I remind you, must be justified. You did it on your own. Now, if they ask him to intervene, then it makes his day. He will gladly intervene in their lives. But there come those that he has predestined, that he can shake you here and he can shake you there, and you've already been justified anyway. Doesn't mean you're not going to answer for your sins, friend. You are, and you do every day. If you don't think you answer, I'll be one of God's elect. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You do like the heathen. You go out and really tie one on tonight and drink about about a gallon of good wine and see if God doesn't punish you tomorrow morning. He won't even wait that long. When the cat walks across the floor, your head is going to ache. You know, that's not just medically, yeah, that'll cause it. But it's also God saying, fool, see what you've done to yourself. Why don't you follow my laws? I said, he that touches strong drink will suffer. Strong drink means a bunch of it. All right. In other words, in communion, you have very little alcohol. It's pure. But if you try a gallon of it, you know, you overdid. See, that's not biblically right or correct. So you're going to pay. So God does correct you, even though you're his election. But he will cause you. I'm sure that there's not too many in this room that have not come to themselves somewhere and said, what caused me to come to this place? And while you were there, something wonderful happened. You were able to plant a seed. Or something just totally unexpected happened. And isn't that a surprise? Well, it wasn't to him. In other words, he will interfere in one of His elect's lives. And you, can you complain about it? No. You're already justified. All right? I add the wine a little bit because I don't like for people to say, I'm one of God's elect and I'm justified and I can't go to hell. You can almost wish you were if you don't wake up and rise to the occasion and get your mind higher than the heathen. Probably you wouldn't be one of His elect to start with. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I'm kind of punching the balloon a little bit, all right? Because there's no difference in one of God's elect than the brothers, other than they wised up a little quicker. Otherwise, by the grace of God, there go I, all right? In other words, you're here for the purpose of helping them. But God has this plan, and it's going to happen according to His will. 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, there it is, His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. What's that? The first fruits. And they were the first fruits because they earned it, justified themselves. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And I don't know any elect that doesn't have plenty of them. That's how they're forgiven. According to the riches of His grace. And it is rich. That's why a change of heart is healthy. That's why that reaching out to Him when you can't help it. Many will say, oh, I've prayed and prayed that I'd get rid of this habit or that habit or these thoughts or that thought. Well, you're praying for the wrong thing then. If you don't have the willpower, then pray to Him that He'll give you the willpower. Ask for the things you need, all right? 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. All wisdom. His word is wisdom when you understand it, when you accept it, when you absorb it. It's His love to you. He wants you to be wise. Wise in Him. Wiser than the prince of the air. Because we are supposed to be wiser than the serpent. Why? We've got the record. We know what it takes to be wiser than Him. We know in the covenant that we're given power over Him. We don't have to put up with it. All right? We can be strong because He is our strength. 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Oh, but that everyone could gain that. What a world this would be. God has a mystery? You bet. We're talking about it. The mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And He did that in Hebrews 2:12, all right? Or 2:14. Chapter 2, book of Hebrews, verse 14. I quoted it earlier. Christ came to this world to die in the flesh, whereby He could recover those that would believe and destroy Satan, which is to say death. Do away with it. Verse 10, listen carefully. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is the object, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Those that have gone on, those that are here. That's why He went to the prisoners in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and taught after the crucifixion. Christ went there and taught the prisoners all the way back to Noah, meaning the beginning, and giving them the same right that many have today. That's justification. God is just, okay? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, not yours, my friend, of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Well, how can I know His counsel? This is His counsel to you. A lot of people go out and pay $90 an hour for counseling. And they got the counselor of all counselors right here to lead them through this life, giving them pleasure, comfort, power, authority. Authority over the prince of the air. Take charge, can-do type people. Because you've got the plan. The mystery is hidden within. And when you study, the mystery pretty well covers his plan of the first earth age, what happened there, what's happened in this earth age up to this point. But the whole overall object is to gather all his children that will accept the Son he sent to die on the cross to pay it for them, us, just for believing, for loving. A great gift. So we see that we've still got to deal with this election thing, do we not? I tell you what, let's turn to Romans. I'm going to sum this up pretty quickly. Turn to Romans with me, the book of Romans. We're going to plow deep here just for a minute. You'll remember this is where Paul was asked, well, does God still care about his people, Israel? And he said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite born of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. In other words, God has different duties for different people, but it's all the same duty overall, that you have to bring our people to Christ. All right? Verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do you know what foreknew means? I'm sorry, chapter 11. Thank you, Anna. She always corrects me whenever I get off on the wrong path. Isn't that wonderful to have a wife that way? Every time I think I'm perfect, she always finds some little thing wrong somewhere. You know, keeps you right down there. Okay. 11:2 Romans. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not? What the scripture saith of Elias, that's to say Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, now listen to old Elijah, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life, they want to kill me. And this is this prophet of God, Elijah. What God say to him? But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. There's no gender in this. What does 7 mean in biblical numeric? Spiritual completeness, however many it took. Who have not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. They haven't fallen in or been deceived by the spurious teaching of the prince of the air. As Christ was tempted and withstood him, they have also. Never. They didn't in the first earth age. They didn't bow a knee to him, and they're not about to when he comes back as the Antichrist. They're better than that. They're sharp. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Of what? Grace. Justification. Faith. God loves them. He can use them. That's why they are set aside. No big deal. It's just fair. It has been justified. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? The word more should be translated longer, really. I think it follows a little better. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it be by of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. But this saying is this, that when you see into that plan that there is a remnant now, and God provided the grace for everyone. Now, yes, of course, God's election should be willing to work. They should count it a pleasure to be able to plant a seed and to work for him. When he touches you, when he leads you to a place, or you feel led to a place, or whatever the case might be. Verse 7, what then? Question. Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Blinded why? There's a purpose, and it will be justified. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, stupor in the Greek, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And there you have it. Let's skip to the 25th verse. For I would, let me fill in the spaces for those that might not be familiar with it. What reason? There was an olive tree that was pure, but he blinded the rest so that the wild olive could be grafted into that pure tree, meaning that salvation could be open to all people. That's why he did it, so that all would have the opportunity to participate in grace. Now, with that having been said, 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And that's dangerous. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, period. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, grace will abound. Now, many might say, well, if all Israel's going to be saved, then how can you justify that? Because they're going to earn it. He's not giving it to them until they deserve it. It won't happen until the end of the millennium for some of them. This gives us hope. But again, we still have this thought, grace and justification. There is another place that he was speaking. And I know I'm running you around quite a bit, but we got time. The beans are not quite done anyway. All right? You had them on low heat. They're going to be all right. So I'm going to keep us just a little bit longer here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Paul is again teaching here, and he said, hey, even the trees in the field, the creation that is grown for Christ's return. And he said, some of you, written again to the saints, rightly divide the word, that's who he was talking to, have a purpose. God touches the strings of their mind. And let's see, I want to pick it up. Verse 26, let's say. I'm sorry. Let me check here. 24. For we are saved by hope. What is hope? Hope is for something you haven't seen, right? Well, let's continue on. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? This is one of the reasons you want to... In other words, that means that faith still applies when you haven't seen. A lot of people pray, Lord, let me see this. Well, hey, once you've seen it, you made yourself accountable, so you want to be careful what you pray for. It kind of takes the edge away, if you know what I mean. And it's a reality to you then. That's the true point of it. 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? You better wait for the true Christ. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You got a weakness? The Spirit will help you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, God knows His plan and God knows what He's doing. And if He decides, you don't know what to pray for to serve God, just consider it a privilege. He's going to intercede in your life and you're going to do it. It's going to happen. You may rebel at times, and I guarantee you, you'll get your act together before too long, because you will think somebody unscrewed every fuse in your life and everything just went until you start screwing fuses back in and get this thing in gear. You're supposed to think on a higher level. All right? The Spirit intercedes in your life, not those with the free will unless they ask, but in yours, He certainly will. For he that searcheth the hearts or the minds knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, the set aside, elect, according to the will of God. Not your will, my friend, but the will of God. You see, you mess up occasionally. You know what? God doesn't. And 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, not yours, not some churches, but God's will, God's plan, God's mystery to the world. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that is to say, Christ, Yeshua, that He might be the firstborn, firstfruits among many brethren. You know, if they earned it in the first earth age, why shouldn't they be the firstfruits? Nothing wrong with that. It's justified. 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. I repeat, called. Not volunteered, called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, you can call this judged if you want to, already judged, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why? You have power. You have authority given to you from God on high, utilizing common sense to do whatever you want to. Something goes wrong in your life, Satan nips in a little bit, kick him out. Take charge. That's what God wants you to do. You can afford it. Why? If God be for you, I don't care who it is, it doesn't do them any good to be against you, because God destroys your enemies. He really does, in His own time and in His own place. You don't have to do a thing other than use common sense. And I hope you understand when I say that. That doesn't, by using common sense, you don't, that means you don't let some enemy walk over you or crawl over you or use you for a mat. But as far as getting even is concerned, God can handle that part of it real good. He'll destroy them. Because He has it written in His Word, and it's part of the mystery. Touch not mine anointed. That means His election. He doesn't want people messing with you when you're trying to do His work and they try to get in your way. They want to get away with it. Now, to close, I just want to leave you with this thought. I want you to remember that grace does not have two separate justifications. I've only used that or hinted at it to cause you to think in dispensations. It's the same justification, overcoming one time. All you have to do is overcome that time. Stand. Some stood. I would say apparently you did. God is judge and justifies. But for what are you doing here then if you were justified there? You've got a purpose. There are some hurting people in this world. It would be real easy to talk down to them and degradate them and say how no good they were. And many of them are. But there are brothers and our sisters in the family of God. And God loves them, even though they're sinners. That His Word, His truth could be taught to them. That they would have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. To make a choice for the good. Instead of the prince of the air's deceit and deceptive devices. That they could be somebody. That's what it's about. And my heart aches when I look out at them and see the deception. It was a strange thing. There was on a program not long ago, I can't even remember what it was, I just happened to be walking through the room, and they asked three very intelligent people, what was the first trouble between siblings in a family in the Bible? They couldn't answer. Couldn't answer about Cain and Abel. I can't tell you. I just happened to be walking through the room, but they were college-educated people. Maybe that's what was wrong. I don't know. But, I mean, they were sharp. They really are, and so forth. But, this is the way it's going to happen. This is His plan. It always has, and it always will. It will come to pass as it is written. So, closing with these thoughts. Verse chapter 5, and I dropped my notes, so I'm just make some up. Therefore, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you find it, friend. I wish I could have peace of mind. Well, read this verse. by whom also we have access by faith. Now we have access. Oh, that's good. But now it tells you how. By what? By faith into this grace wherein we stand. Do you stand in it, or do you bobble in and out like a cork on the sea? Think about it. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And certainly you can. Verse 3, you stand up for everything He hopes for you. You claim it. It's yours, all right? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How many of you can do that? Do you know what that means? As Christians, we glory in a little hardship. Life would really be boring. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. Life would really be boring without a few hardships, all right? Challenges. How would you know how good you were if you weren't challenged? And have the victory, all right? In Christ, you're going to have them if you familiarize yourself with the Word. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In other words, tribulation or little problems in this world against Christianity strengthens your endurance. You can endure. You can do anything. You are can-do type people in Him. I don't care if it's business or what. When everybody else is quitting and there's still another hill, friend, I promise you, you can make it. I speak from experience. I know you can make it. It's just that these give up. You don't. And verse 4, and patience, that's to say endurance, experience builds your character, all right? That's what really makes a can-do type person. It builds your character up when something pops up. Hey, I'll take care of that. Don't mind a bit. I can handle it. All right? And you wade in with the experience knowing what you're doing. And experience hope. In other words, hope is confidence in what God has promised you to know. It's going to happen exactly that way. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. It floods this earth. There's a lot of it. You've been getting yours. In our hearts, that's in your mind, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, that's when we were weak and out of the mystery, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And brought you in. He opened the door. And grace abounds. His favor. We could even say unmerited, because we haven't really earned it. We earn it by saying, I love you. I want to serve you. I repent. And that divine touch comes down to you from Him and gives you that character, that endurance. And the next time when you say, oh, I am really getting tired of this, think about it. Think about it. God leads His elect. Look carefully. I always try something, and I'm not a perfect example. I'm not setting myself up as one. But I always set up, if something is giving me problems, I'm going to try it 3 times, I guarantee you. And I'm going to, the first time that it fails, if it should, I'm going to think, where did I go wrong? It was a good idea, or I wouldn't have tried it in the first place. And I'm going to pray about it again. And God hates a quitter, is what I'm saying. And I'm going to hit it that second time. And the third time, if it fails, again, God hates a quitter. I'm going to look that thing over. And I'm going to really put a lot of thought and prayer into it. And mostly thought, and then the prayer. Because wisdom is what causes things to happen, all right? Prayer does too, but God expects you to use that character that He builds and molds within you. And then I put what some people would call a fleece. Do you know what a fleece is? It goes back to old Gideon, you know, when he just let the little water on this side and then on the ground. You know, if it's that way, God, draw me a sign. You know? So I just say, Father, this is it. And if it fails that time, I say, I got the message, Lord. You don't want that of me. And take the alternate. Do something different. There's more than one way to get over a mountain. And here of late, when I'm following these kids around out on these documentaries, I always hunt the easiest way, you know, to get up the mountain. But I love every minute of it. But God loves you. That's why you have this grace. He favors you because it's justified. Now, I know we're not worthy because we're in flesh bodies, and boy, they're a mess to deal with, all right? But don't get impatient with yourself, and don't give up. Keep trying. And as we come up with July just starting, the thermometer goes up and the heat comes down, the days are long, and Mama gets unhappy, and Daddy gets unhappy, and you know if Mama's unhappy, ain't nobody happy. So keep Mama happy. And keep Papa happy. Love each other. That's what I'm saying. Really be careful as we come up into these times, because boy, Satan loves it when God turns the sun up. He can just get out there and work overtime trying to find your weaknesses. So you be good to each other, and let us thank Him for His grace. Father, we do thank You for that grace, that unmerited favor that You give us, Father. May these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father, that Your Word, Your truth, Your plan, and Your mystery to the world goes forth, that our brothers and sisters that are lost can hear the truth, to know there is more to the Word than they've been led to believe because of Satan's influence in this world, misteaching, and so forth. Father, give us that ability. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.